gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me!
For nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention!
Attention!
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones, Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Do I have the mic up enough? Am I blaring over everyone? Can I hear myself? I don't know. I just don't know. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. What is today? Anybody give me a date for the 18th? The 18th of January 2011, which is a good day for those of us living. Take that toy away from him. Don't give the dog a squeaky toy when I'm on the radio, Lou. What is the matter with you? Yeah. Well, we are on the move. Lou's making more noise with the toy than the dog is. We're down to one computer again because Lou forgot to get the other computer. And, did I not send you up to the audio studio and say get everything we need to do the radio show?
And you asked me, you said we only need one.
No, that was last week. Your volume needs to come up a bit. Everybody's complaining around here. They say, oh, you're too overdriven. Oh, we can't hear you. How's that? Give me some feedback, guys. Get this stinking dog out of here before I break his little nose. The dog's trying to disconnect cables. I think he's a Southern Poverty Law Center dog. Moments before we went on the air, he pulled out some audio cables, so he's being a bad dog. Get him, pin him down, roll him up in a pillowcase or something, but subdue that dog. Okay, guys, let me know how it's sounding because we have been playing with audio settings and all kinds of things. But before we start, I need to share with you a little bit of good news. You guys have been hearing me complain about AB 962, which was a law that said February 1st, 2011, you could no longer do mail order ammo sales of any kind. No out of magazines, no by phone. You had to go down and show your ID and give a thumbprint to order pistol ammunition. A lot of merchants were saying they weren't going to sell any ammo because of the new restrictions. Well, today in Fresno, in a dramatic ruling giving gun owners a win in a National Rifle Association / California Rifle and Pistol Association lawsuit, this morning in Superior Court in Fresno, Judge Jeffrey Hamilton ruled that AB 962, the hotly contested statute, tyrannical law, that would have banned mail order ammunition sales and required all purchases of so-called handgun ammunition to be registered, was unconstitutionally vague on its face. The court enjoined enforcement of the statute so mail order ammunition sales to California can continue unabated and ammunition sales need not be registered under law in California. Now, this lawsuit was prompted in part by many objections and questions raised by confused police, ammunition purchasers, and sellers of what ammunition is covered by the laws created by AB 962. In a highly unusual move that reflects growing law enforcement opposition to ineffective gun control laws, Tehama County, and that's T-E-H-A-M-A, County Sheriff Clay Parker, is the lead plaintiff in this lawsuit. Other plaintiffs include CRPA Foundation, Herb Bauer Sporting Goods, Able Ammo, which I bought stuff from, Able Ammo, which ships good cheap ammo, collectible ammunition shipper RTG Sporting Collectibles, and individual Steven Stonecipher, Mendocino Sheriff Tom Allman have also joined the lawsuit and supported it. Isn't it great when we have sheriffs that do what's right? The ruling comes just days before the portion of the law that bans mail order sales of so-called handgun ammunition was set to take effect on February 1, 2011. Now, the lawsuit, Parker v. California, is funded exclusively by the NRA and CRPA Foundation. If it had gone into effect, AB 962 would have imposed burdensome and ill-conceived restrictions on the sales of ammunition. AB 962 required that handgun ammunition be stored out of reach of customers and that ammunition vendors collect ammunition sales registration information and thumbprints from purchasers and conduct transactions face-to-face for all deliveries and transfer of handgun ammunition. Now, the lawsuit successfully sought the declaration from the court that the statute was unconstitutional and successfully sought the injunctive relief prohibiting law enforcement from enforcing any of this law. Isn't that great? Now, originally, there were all kinds of other laws and stipulations in that law that got taken out in the system with reloading and all that kind of stuff. So this is magnificent. This is a huge victory. This is something that I didn't foresee happening. I didn't even know about the lawsuit. I researched it and could not find this lawsuit. As you can imagine, we were all, you know, wanting parts of, the information here. We wanted to know more about it here. And we had given up. We didn't know that somebody was fighting this battle, and we definitely didn't know that it was a collection of law enforcement and gun owners and merchants. That is a victory. The things that we don't know that go on behind the lines, behind the scenes rather, well, we're still behind the lines here in California. It's a great praise report for liberty. Now, you and I both know, depending on who Governor Moonbeam has appointed for Attorney General, I don't know who the acting Attorney General is right now because he was. It's up to him to contest this. Of course, the Attorney General office won't enforce our will when it comes to sodomites being married, but he'll probably go after this. So it's very, 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 very important that we take this moment to do this. Now, I posted this on Facebook, and what we need to do is praise these people that are involved in it. Go to my Facebook page. Go to Facebook, type in Dutch Jones. Tell me you want to add me as a friend. And we will do that. And what we'll do is you can go to my page and you can see where I've posted this among all the other articles I've posted today. I've posted a bunch of stuff today, mostly on Islam. Now, yesterday I want to apologize for not being here, but it was like 45 minutes before the show, I got this killer migraine. My back's killing me. I prefer to stay in bed today if I could have, but I had to get out. But I did what I could do, so I wanted to make sure that everyone here knows that I don't like to miss a show unless I have to. I had a lot of stuff to talk about, but I had to sit in the dark and just drink a lot of fluids and take some Advil, was it? You know, and just hope for the best, and I appreciate it. I got a lot of emails, you know, asking where I was. The phone was ringing. People were asking, Lou, see, now I can't see the phone number. What'd you do with the phone number? Thank you, Lou. Lou is an inhibitor of good radio. He's a self-proclaimed muffler of the truth. He's like moving stuff around so I can't see it. And he's just laying in the bed, staring at TV, staring at the ceiling, playing with his belt loops. Yeah, look, you're playing with your belt loops right there. Move your hand. But so that's where I was yesterday. I wanted to talk about the things that happened over the weekend. We had a really good training class for our CERT class. And that was fantastic, the stuff we went over. And it was wonderful. A lot of it had to do with some of the things that we went over on the phone. So I wanted to thank everybody who did participate from the church. We had 5 community members that were not associated with the church. I'd say 4 of them, a young lady and 3 young men. Right? Yeah, young lady and 3 young men. We're all under the age of 25, let's say. And we need more youth coming. And I asked them why they came, and they had heard word of mouth that we're going to be teaching some survival stuff. I don't think they knew exactly what they were going to get given our church's reputation, but they were surprised at the level of stuff. I gave them a CERT intro, and then we talked about fire suppression in the home and wildland interface, you know, what a civilian could be doing, and telling them that I would give them a little bit more training if they come back. So hopefully we'll see them come back. People were more concerned with what the uniform was going to be, getting their certificates, and what else was it? It was funny. It was just ID cards. But that's what's going to happen when you do these kind of trainings. So hopefully they'll come back just for the training and not for the really cool gear. Yeah. So we'll do it. And then the people, we showed 3 videos. We showed certain action. We showed basic firefighting cert video. And then we showed a intro to triage just to get them ready for next training. And I left them with this option. I said, we can do this once a month. We can do this once a week. It's up to you guys. We'll see how motivated they get. But we've got stuff scheduled out over the next 8 months. And if you go to thechurchatcahuilla.org, thechurchatcahuilla.org, and you click on training at the bottom of the page, you're going to see our schedule. All the videos are there, everything. And if you can't find thechurchatcahuilla.org, just Google the church at Cahuilla, K-A-W-E-A-H, K-A-W-E-A-H. on the front page right there, you'll find what I'm talking about and the links there, and you can watch the videos at home. Now, in order to be a CERT person, you have to take all the training, the basic it's 16 hours of training, basically. But if you can't take all of it with us, you can take it online. So take it online. If you care about certificates and stuff, you can register and all that. But it's more important that you get the training to take care of your family. We'll continue to do the militia style of training. And again, is Steve, who's going to be on again today from Code 20, the 29th of January. We're going to be performing another training, a hands-on militia-type training for Code 20. But that's $100 a person, $100 a person. We're also putting together a ladies' pistol class for anyone that's in the area listening to us, which is, the 5th of February. The 5th of February, Stacy's going to be leading a women's auxiliary cadre to DFT in Coarse Gold. The cost for that one was
$95? No, I thought it was
$90. $90 for a one-day pistol course just for the ladies. And if you're interested, you can email Stacy at DutchJones.info, Stacy at DutchJones.info. The maximum number for that class is 14, where I've already got five people signed up. So that one will fill up fast. And that money all goes to DFT. That has nothing to do with us. But you got to bring your lunch, your pistol, your own pistol. You can rent one from him, but you need to tell us ahead of time. I don't know what it is a day to rent. Did you know, Lou, when you went, did anybody rent a pistol?
No one rented a pistol.
Okay, and then ammo is 150 rounds. You'll be done by 4:30, and there's a casino right there if you ladies want to go buffet afterwards and you'll play roulette or whatever. I'm not going to judge. I'm not a gambler. My biggest gamble is just getting in a car, but I'm not doing that. But that's for the ladies. And if you want me to put together other Dutch Jones packages like this, because this is a discount, because we have a relationship with DFT, I will do it for you. You've got a group of five or six people. You want to do some training up at DFT in Coarse Gold, California, call me. Give me an email, and I will work as an intermediary, and I'll get you some discounts. You won't have to pay the full, $150, $200 a day because you're going through Dutch Jones. We're trying to help him out. He helps us out with giving us discounted training, and I send him people. And he's kind of an unofficial sponsor of the show. Their banners. If you click on the banners on the website, it goes to him, right, Lou?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Boy, we're being scanned again. Oh, someone's being called. Okay, the phone number to call in for today only, and tomorrow probably. No, not tomorrow. We won't be doing the show tomorrow here. The phone number to call in today for the first hour until we get to code 20 will be 559-346-8362. That's 559-346-8362. And like I said, there's all kinds of stuff to talk about that happened over the weekend, different things going on. But I want to focus a little bit more on getting the training together. I really want you guys to start focusing on training. The economy's doing some dipsy-diddle things. Crime's picking up. I hear Mom yelling in the next room, and I have no idea what do you know what she's yelling about? It's probably another wrong number. She hates it when she gets wrong. Stacy just jumped out. I'll let her know that you're here. Training is critical. We've got to start on these man camps that we're doing up here, and you should be doing them in your community. What was that?
It's Mom.
What does she want?
She told me to turn off the soup.
Oh, they didn't win like a gazillion dollars at the
she
at the end.
She was hitting it. And I'm like,
yeah.
Give me some money.
Yeah, gambling. We should do a whole show on gambling.
Give me some money.
Yeah. Parents want. We got Indian casinos all over the place here, and the grand folks are taking off and decided to go fund the savages, the Native American, the indigenous people, whatever.
Yeah, instead of giving us money.
Instead of giving us money. That's the way it goes. But that's just the way it goes, period. Sorry. So training should be a key thing. It's January. Start out on the right foot. Start out with training. Start out with putting your stuff together. If, like I said, if you send me a self-addressed manila envelope, like a business-size envelope, put four or five stamps on that, I'll make you copies of our training doctrines as we use them. I came up with a little handbook on things to do for disaster. It was the field action guide. No, that would be the FAG. Field operations guide. We had to change it to field action guide. Just didn't fly. And but I'll if you guys send me some money, I'll send you the black and white copies of that I put together. Things I've collected up. Last year we did all kinds of training. This year we're focusing training on two prongs. One is our community training, how we deal with the community, how we are going to sandbag, we're going to do outreach, we're going to do first aid for events as a militia to increase the image of the militia. Now, you may be saying, well, it's a waste of time. Well, it may be a waste of time in the cities, but if you're in the rural community, when we've got cowboys and stuff like that that we can still, you know, garner support from or recruit, it's worth doing. And then the other prong is going to be the martial training. Along with Code 20 and our militia, we're going to be offering training. And I want you to use what we're doing as a model, not a perfect model, but just a structure to start with. Now, of course, when we're on our second hour on Liberty Tree Radio and those guys have been training and training and training and training, that's fine. We can always look to them, and they're going to get a little bored with it, so I'm going to do most of it in the first hour. Because those of us that haven't been doing this for 30 years need to stick together. Warland's asking if you got the donation.
We haven't been to the post office yet. We
haven't. We're away from that. Because yesterday was Martin Luther King Day. It's Tuesday today. When we go to the post office tomorrow, we'll probably see about that. Thank you. I'm looking forward to that. So let's work on training together this year. Let's make that the theme for this year. And every minute of training we can do is going to be great because we don't know when the other shoe is going to fall now. Things are getting weird. You've got the Chinese premier, the president, rather, their executive coming to America and saying the dollar is a thing of the past. Basically, when I look at Ho or Hu or whatever, how you pronounce his name, he come over here to take a look at the collateral. He wants, you know, he's saying the dollar's done. You owe us $3 trillion, and we want to take a look at how you're taking care of our investment, the collateral, the state parks, the infrastructure, the businesses, the farms. What I want to know is that big shindig that they threw for the Chinese president over at the White House, did they have to borrow money from China to pay for that? I mean, how are we affording this kind of stuff when the economy's in the tank? The stock market's a joke. Don't take that. There's nothing going good. Unemployment. Yeah, Obongo's having dinner with China. I wonder if he bowed to him.
Probably did.
He probably did. Probably kissed his ring or whatever.
Kissed his...
That's why he's here. He's sizing this up. Why else would the Chinese dictator come over? Why would a Chinese part of the party, the stooge, part of the Communist Party, come over? And you know, in private, Obongo was like, I'm sorry, I didn't get their guns away. I know I promised you that within the first 6 months of me becoming, you know, El Jefe, that I would take away their guns. That Chinese leader coming over was to spank Obama. Don't you have any second thoughts about it?
It's like the Godfather. If you don't pay
it. Yeah, it's like the Godfather. Yeah. Stacy's got a good point there. It's like the Godfather came to see one of his lieutenants, one of his capos. He's like, hey. Instead of doing a Chinese accent, he's like, hey, why you no get guns? It's Mexican. Everything I do sounds Mexican today. I can't help it. Why you no get guns? You stupid! You no get guns! You come to me! We break your legs! You no get guns!
I
kill you right now!
Where's my money?
Yeah, where's my money? And when he gets off the plane and says something like the dollar bill is a currency of the past, oh yeah. I actually like it when they do stuff like that. I'm tired of the Nancy boy prancing around the topic stuff that everybody wants to do when it comes to global economics. The fact is, we're doomed. I've got a bunch of stuff, videos that I've put up, stuff that I've gotten from all of you, and a few things that I found on my own. And it's just the economy. Even Donald Trump, who's thinking about running for president, he won't say till June because he's got a TV show, and if he says he's running for president, they have to pull the TV show. That Apprentice, it's because of the, you know, FCC regulations. But I was listening to him, and I don't like Donald Trump. He's unchristian. I don't think, you know, he's going to run as a Republican. But he is just nailing these people. He's like, just tell China tough. Just tell Korea tough. Tell Iraq they owe us $3 trillion, you know, and then we'll pay, you know. And at least he's not mamby-pamby, but he won't get it. They won't give the permission for him to run for president. He'll get killed in the preliminaries. But Donald Trump at least is calling it like it is, and it amazed me. I mean, if the guy didn't sound terrible, you know, as the heavy New York accent, is it just me or does it look like Donald Trump's toupee has a toupee? I saw him on Fox News, and it's just like, it's the only guy that's worse is that dude from Chicago, the old mayor of Chicago that got nailed. Yeah, I know. He's a total New World Order scumunist. He's built huge buildings with foreign money and everything. But it's funny what he's saying. He's telling the truth about, and of course, sometimes the liars do tell the truth the most, right? About how, you know, he goes, don't trust the stock market. Don't put your money in there. Why do you keep leaning over here like that? Oh, to look at the time. Okay, Lee, that's good because that's your job to look at the time. We cut a new commercial for our for the website. It's really short. It's only 30 minute commercial. 30-second commercial. Remember, you can't get to the store now directly. You have to go through dutchjones.info. At the top of the page, there's a little bar there, a menu bar that says store. So you got to go there. So remember that when we play the commercial coming up. That's Luke keeps looking over my shoulder because we got one computer and he doesn't have a watch. So, in fact, I don't even know where my watch is anymore. I don't know where anything is. We packed our house so full of supplies we can't find the supplies. We got containers and boxes everywhere. We got 55-gallon drums. We got buckets of this, cases of that, ammunition and weapons spread out through the house. When SWAT comes to burn us out, we're going to burn for like 3 weeks just because of all the macaroni and cheese and beans and weenies that we got. We're going to have to dig under the house and start storing stuff, get the basement and then do a trap door. You know what really does a prepper, a survivalist, a militia guy's heart well? When his 10-year-old daughter comes over and goes, Daddy, I was thinking there's something you ought to build me. And I go, what do you want, a swing set, a clubhouse, maybe a little castle for your princess dolls? No, I was thinking that so when the bad guys come, we need a trap door to drop down into the basement so we can escape. I almost cried. So she said to me last time she was here, she goes, you could put it in the hallway right here. And I was like, I know, I've thought of that. That's so beautiful. You know, it was just a wonderful thing to have your 10-year-old daughter tell you. She's not eight anymore. Yeah, my 10-year-old daughter. It just my heart was just like, oh, to have a little girl that gets it, you know, like, well, when the bad guys come, because we don't talk to her about ATF and FBI. We just say bad guys, but she just knows bad guys, you know, O.J. Simpson, Michael Jackson, stuff like that, when they're going to come to the door. And no, I just picked two people that were black. We don't say that all black people are bad, so save your cards and letters. Ridiculous. That's not what we're saying. Although the Northwest Front, and I know you guys are listening, you're probably the guests, the guys from the Northwest Front that want to build an all-white nation, they're really liking the show. I went there and I posed and said, look, we're Christian separatists. That's the thing. That's the next thing I want to talk to you about. Pastor and I sat down. We were talking about this. What are we at the church at Kuya? People love labels. People need to have a handle to figure out what's going on so that they can tell their friends, listen to that guy, Dutch Jones, he's a... Because you can't say I'm a Republican. You can't say I'm a Libertarian. You can't say I'm this, I'm that. Here's what we're going to call ourselves from now on. And I encourage all of you to use this title. We are Christian separatists. Because, one, we want to separate from the modern church that's an abomination. We want to separate from the United States of America that's an abomination. We want to separate ourselves from non-Christian militia guys. That's an abomination. You can't be a militia guy and be not Christian and expect to succeed, but, you know, I can flog that dead horse all day. We are separatists from the white separatist types because we don't believe that the salvation message is only for one race. We believe that there is only one race, the human race, and that everything else is cultural. And uh-oh, my page just went blank. That was kind of scary. Why did I go? Am I not plugged in? Yeah, my computer just went into sleep mode. That was weird. Luke, can you change that and make sure you change? Can you do that? Change it so it doesn't go into sleep mode again? Because I don't know if that'll take us off the air. So we are Christian separatists. Now, we didn't invent that. That comes from the 1600s. The Puritans were those that wanted to purify the Church of England from within, and they tried to fight it and make it work. The Separatists were the ones that wanted to just get away. They went to Holland for a while. They went into the country of England for a while, were hunted down and killed, and all kinds of terrible things. They came to America, and with the help of Native Americans, they succeeded after several attempts. So we're not going to exclude the fact and ignore the fact that if it weren't for friendly savages that had been educated and things like that, it probably would have been a lot harder. But it was God's manifest destiny, God's interposition, that made this nation be settled. And it is a Christian nation, and we want to get it back to that, but we are very realistic that we cannot purify the government from within. We are not going to purify the 98% of the churches that are corrupt and vile and ignorant, and it all goes together. It doesn't matter if they're corrupt or ignorant. Either one is anti-Christian. So we here at the Church of Kaweah, and our pastor said this the other day in a teaching, that he is a Christian separatist from now on. We're going to use that phrase, Christian separatist. Should we copyright it somehow? Can we trademark that? Can you trademark that? Christian, I'm just kidding. And we want to make sure that when you describe us, when people go, well, what is Pastor Warren Mark Campbell who comes on Thursday evenings? Well, he's a Christian separatist. And this Thursday, he's going to go and teach more about the militia and the Christian separatist movement and what a necessity it is. Because how can you enforce codes and laws, no matter how just or unjust they are, without the power of the sword? And to have the power of the sword, you have to have a militia. And we're going to continue to go down that route on Thursday nights on how to put together a community. Because it doesn't matter to us if you're in Illinois, Southern Florida, Texas, wherever you are, if you have enough people to do this, we want you to do it. We prefer some of you check us out and come here. We invite you wholeheartedly to come here and stay with us. Check us out. Come to our trainings on these weekends. The third weekend of every month, we're going to be doing the emergency response training. And additional days we will add, like February 5 will be a ladies training. You'd have to come here like Friday night, stay in one of our guest houses, and then go up with all the ladies. We'll load up some vans full of it'll be like a estrogen, what would it be? An estrogen, is that because it would be testosterone if it was guys? So it'd be an estrogen road trip. I'm sure there'll be donuts and snacks and lots of whatever. What do you women do when you get together? What do the women do from the church when they get together? I mean, other than complain about me. Nobody complains about me. Stacy was in the, I'm going to tell a little bathroom story. She was in the restroom at church on Sunday, and these ladies didn't know she was in there. And the ladies started talking about how nice Dutch Jones is. Isn't he just amazing? And he's just so funny and so smart. And then Stacy comes out. There were women in the bathroom talking about me. And I'm like, oh, great. They're complaining that I'm wearing a gun. They're complaining about my cologne. It's like, no. They actually thought you were pretty cool. That blew me away. So I had to share that with you guys. But anyway, getting back to that, I had to figure out a way to work that into the show. Yeah. We got 2 minutes for the break here. I really, 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 really encourage women to get together and train on this. So we're going to continue to do these kind of things. I'm going to keep reaching out to you. I will send you materials when I can. I mean, reading is fundamental, is key in this. Researching. I had insomnia for like the last 5 days, and I think it was Michigan Mike who said it's because you stay up all night researching this stuff and you get bitter and mean and you get the headaches. And he's right. He's a nurse, a trauma nurse up there in Michigan, and he's one of our supporters, and I know he listens on the podcast. And he's right. I gotta slow down on this stuff. I gotta stop being the only one. So anything you can send to us to redistribute to the minions, greatly appreciated. Send it to us, and we'll just make copies of it and send it out. I know there are many other outlets. I know everybody else on Liberty Tree Radio is doing this, but we're going to be the best little purveyors of information that we can. We're going to do everything within our power to try and share with you the information-based and Christian-based, Christian separatist worldview. So we are a Christian separatist worldview, militant Christian. We're doing everything we can. And to all the pagans, deists, papists, who else? The Greeks that listen to this show that want to argue with me, I'm not going to argue with you anymore. That's not the purpose of this show. Some of them are weird. Yeah. You pantheon God worshippers, not going to do it. So go ahead and start it, Lou.
It is dark.
Okay. Okay, we're going to do a little break right now because I'm having chest pains and I got to take some pills. Drink some water. I need to fix that hydration. I think I got a migraine because I was dehydrated. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Experience bringing you the Christian separatist militant worldview, normally from the church at Kaweah in Kaweah, California, but currently on the road. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back. When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention.
World order. A new world order.
Attention.
Government.
This is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Okay, we're back. This is the Dutch Jones Christian Separatist Militant Worldview Radio Program. And it's time. I'm going to push a button here. And I hope she's there. Are you there, Lane?
Yes, I am.
Okay, it's time for Lane Lawless. Before I talk to you, I want to tell the fans what just happened. The phone rang, I answered it, and immediately started playing a song, and I could not hear what Lane was saying. The last time that happened was when I was talking with Shauna on the phone, and it started playing I Fought the Law. This phone will not play music when I'm on the phone, period. It can't be done. It's not designed to do it. And now I can't get it to stop playing music. I had to mute it, and I'm doing everything I can here to do it. But we've got Lane on the phone. She was going to call in today with a Shauna Ford update. But it's just freaky that our phone started going nuts like that.
I guess Shauna and I are joined at the hip, Dutch.
It seems that way. It's just the harassment continues, and somehow they must be your phone or Shauna's phone or my phone or something.
Hey, my phone's been out of order for 5 days. My phone went out of order about 5 or 6 days ago. The FBI showed up at my house. It was out of order for 5 days. Finally, yesterday, a phone man came and fixed it.
Oh,
so, you know, are they harassing me too? Probably.
Yeah, who knows? Well, let's get to it. They're not going to stop us. What did you want to call in about today?
Well, I talked to Shauna today, and she says that, and we put updates on the website, justiceforshaunaford.com as well. She said the jury questioning and the selection is going to continue January 19th. The judge has denied the request for change of venue. And unless they can't find an unbiased jury, I mean, that would be their only hope, is not to find enough jurors who were unprejudiced or unbiased.
Right.
The trial is supposed to begin January 25th. She says the trials never begin on Monday. They always begin on Tuesday because they set aside Monday for motions and other things that they need to do, I guess, pre-trial. So. Mm-hmm. Pima County is basically getting everything that they want. They're just steamrolling the railroad of Shauna Ford. They're getting everything exactly the way they want it.
And it sounds like that's been the plan the whole time. You know, they have
a
game plan they're sticking to, and they're just going to deny. Even though that's setting up for mistrials, they're just going to do their best to make a show trial of this.
Well, that's part of the railroad. And what's interesting, I do have some new news. That one of the things Shauna told me, she said, take it to the max. Kick out the jams on the website. Just put everything that you can on it.
Good.
So we're going to be posting some very special things on the website that we weren't posting in the past because they were a little bit too aggressive. And Shauna's attorney, you know, cautioned her to be more cautious. But she said, look, the trial is on now. Let's post everything we can because it can only help me.
Yeah, the battle's now.
We're posting things about the hearsay witnesses, a little bit about their backgrounds, because everything Shauna's told the committee about them, it's all truth. It's facts. It's not bias. It's not prejudice. It's not slander. It's facts. And these are facts that are going to be brought out in the trial. Because it's not just all the prosecution they get to put on their show, but then the defense gets to ask questions of the witnesses and find out, let the jurors know something about their background, like if somebody's been a drug dealer in the past or they're, a totally unrepentant, unrehabilitable drug addict, then the jury needs to know about that because that's a person whose word doesn't count for much.
Right. And the character of the witnesses is everything in this.
Yes, I would think so. And so one of the things that I got, today I got a letter in the mail for Shauna from one of her associates who's doing time in Washington State Prison right now. Mm-hmm. He's somebody who helped her after she was shot and beaten and raped. He helped her move things and stuff like that. And he really was a real friend to her, but he's a person who has problems with drugs and whatnot, and he did eventually get busted and he went to prison. But he told me that Pima County detectives are so desperate to get something on Shauna that they made an 11th-hour visit to him in his cell in Washington State Prison.
All the way up there.
Yeah, I know. Just like a couple of weeks ago, this is an 11th-hour visit, right? That they were rebuffed and they had to return home with nothing. He wouldn't
Good.
Tell them anything.
Good.
It's kind of like the Pima County prosecutor and Sheriff Dupnik. They're just throwing spaghetti on the wall. They're just throwing stuff to the wall, everything that they can to see if they can get anything to stick. That's how little they have on Shauna Ford. It's absurd.
Well, let me tell you something. I continue to read not just about Shauna's case, but about the handling of this shooting. And a whole can of worms has been opened down there, and Dupnik is coming out looking like an idiot. I know you were looking for his Fifth Amendment plea, and I'm trying to find it. I've got emails out to people that first heard it. Everything got, you know, who knows in the confusion, but we're going to try and find it. But the fact of it is that this Dupnik, he's rode roughshod over his county. The corruption is there, and let's be fair, the stupidity is there. And he was grabbing at headlines when he went after Shauna is what I think happened. And now people are starting to see what this guy is really like.
No, he's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I can't put it any other way. He suffers from typical liberalism, mental illness.
Who's crazier, Jared Loughner or Clarence Dupnik? It's
yeah.
a toss-up.
Yeah, and who's more dangerous, a guy who shot 19 people or a guy who can ruin tons of lives because of his position of authority? I ask you.
Yeah, I would say the government agent is more dangerous.
Yeah, so would I.
One of the other things that I think is really wonderful is that Rob Sanchez of Job Destruction News, he's the guy who talks a lot about H-1B visas and has a website called Job Destruction News and puts out a newsletter. He wrote an article called Can Shauna Ford Get a Fair Trial in Tucson's Superheated Atmosphere?
Yeah.
And so we've got that also on the website. We've got a link to it where it's posted, and I'm really very grateful to Rob for writing that. It's an excellent article, very perceptive.
What's an absurdity to me is that you have people screaming for Loughner to get a change of venue because he can't get a fair trial. And I'm like, are you kidding me?
He just committed the crime a week ago, and already they're worried about whether this nutcase, who everybody saw shoot these people down in cold blood, they're worried about whether or not he can get a fair trial. And I just sit here, I'm absolutely boiling with, mm-hmm. Boiling with the injustice of it. I mean, it's like, does anybody care about whether or not Shauna Ford gets a fair trial? She's the one that's been sitting in the can for a year and a half in solitary confinement. They're worried about Jared Loughner?
Mm-hmm. Who is obviously guilty.
We don't even know what his trial date is yet.
Yeah, yeah. And it's obvious he's guilty. They have the eyewitnesses. You know, he pulled the trigger, whether he was instigated or whatever to do it. I could care less. He pulled the trigger. And with Shauna, you have more than enough doubt that she was involved in this. And there is biased prosecution. There is biased arrest. There is biased... I want to say imprisonment, but she's in a jail, but you get my point. The way they're holding her, the way they're treating her in jail. Now, how long has she been in jail now?
Well, January 11th would make it a year and a half, so it's like 555 days, something like that.
So she's been behind the wire, an American warrior patriot behind the wire who was doing the job that most Americans don't want to even think about for over 500 days. and they continue to violate her rights, and we can't even get a discussion, a reasonable discussion, get them to hear it in a reasonable time, put some time to it, that she deserves a change of venue.
She's absolutely shocked. She is shocked because any other judge, except for one that was bought and paid for by La Raza,
right,
would have given her a change of venue. But, you know, Judge John Leonardo of the Superior Court of Pima County has a record of having a liberal bias and of voting in favor of, you know, of granting special privileges to La Raza folks. So,
sure,
obviously, he's not going to go easy on Shauna. He's going to put the screws to her, and he's going to help railroad her. A judge can make a huge difference in how a trial goes because he can deny motions and deny objections. There are all sorts of things that he can do if he's biased, and there's no doubt that this judge is biased. There is no doubt whatsoever. She needs a new judge. She needs a change of venue. Now, whether or not she'll get one, I don't know. It may happen that if there is, in fact, if it is impossible to, if she cannot get an unbiased jury, however it comes out, it may be that she's convicted by a jury that dislikes her just because she's a Minuteman,
and
it might have to be fought out in appeals court. But when somebody's convicted and there's a death penalty involved, typically any kind of appeals take 9 to 10 years. That's an awful long time for a young person, for someone who's only 43 years old to wait.
Well, here's the thing. This is just another chapter in the continuing line of evidence that our court system is corrupt and biased. If anything, people say, well, you're innocent until proven guilty. That is no longer true. Because if that were true, they would bend over backwards to give her a fair venue, a jury pool that is not peopled with people who listen to guys like Dupnik saying, oh, this is the Mecca. I love his term, Mecca. He would use a gutter religion's holy place like Mecca to say of hate and discontent, and we need to deal with that, and we need, you know, I don't know. I actually thought until this shooting that Dupnik was looking to run for higher office, but now he's ruined. He ruined himself. So I hate to say it, if of the few good things that came out of this murder spree or this shooting, I think the light was shed on Dupnik, and I hope it continues to be shed on the judiciary down there in Pima County.
Yeah, I just hope that Shauna doesn't become victimized by it to show what's wrong. I think what we saw with the Loeffner shooting is it is now known that Dupnik's sheriff's department had many contacts with Jared Loeffner, and he had threatened many people with death. And he should have been arrested a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they just shined him on, and they encouraged his victims to shine him on, and look what happened.
Well, and of course, there's the connection that his mother was a county employee, too. And having been a government employee on state, city, and even federal level, there is nepotism. And there are get-out-of-jail-free cards, depending on who you know. Yeah, and you just look at, like, I watched a video of his over the weekend where he walked around his campus after he was criminally trespassed from the campus. He's walking around with a video camera talking about how much he hates it, and he even accosts verbally a professor there. And this video's been out there for months, and Dupnik didn't act on it. But yet on hearsay, he scoops up Shauna and takes away her liberty on hearsay. Makes no sense at all.
Well, the reason why she was arrested in the first place, which is because Jason Bush was, they squeezed the confession out of him, and then he named Albert and he named Shauna, probably under duress, and he was being coerced. Now, that's not going to be led into Shauna's trial, and I believe that will not play a part in Albert's trial either. So whatever reason originally existed to arrest her is no longer there, is not even going to play a part in the trial. So I think that's an even better reason to either give her a reasonable bail or let her out, not even proceed with the trial.
Yeah. Well, had she a decent lawyer, he would argue that and get it in somehow, some way.
Well, with a judge who's biased, though, it's hard to do that, and we pretty much all know at this point that everybody in a county legal system all plays on the same team.
That's
if you make waves and you rock the boat, then you're going to have to see that judge, you're going to have to see that prosecutor again in your next case, and they will give you a hard time.
Yeah, it's a good old boy club, and now good
exactly.
old girl too, but yeah, it's completely corrupt. That's why I want no part of it. I do everything that I can to stay out of it. I don't even want a jaywalking ticket because it's evil and it's vile and it's but unfortunately it does ensnare good people like in Shauna's case and hundreds across the country we know and don't know about. So what is, have you spoken to Shauna lately or since the last time we spoke with you?
Well, just today I talked to her.
How are her spirits?
She's doing okay.
Yeah.
She's
brave.
You know, she's got quite a lot of energy and she's, you know, I think she kind of wants to get it over with, but she doesn't necessarily want to do it with this judge and in Tucson. You know, a lot of things could still happen. She could get a change of venue. Maybe her lawyer might file an appeal in a federal court for a change of venue. I mean, law is an art. It's not a science.
No, it is not.
And
yeah.
And a lawyer has a huge bag of tricks, especially a lawyer as experienced as hers, that he can pull out of that bag all kinds of things. I believe it might even be possible for him to file an appeal in federal court for a change of venue. But you see, that would tick off Judge Leonardo. He wouldn't
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, because it would call into question his judgment.
Yeah, but yeah. I believe her lawyer could even appeal the change of venue to an appeals court or maybe even to the Arizona State Supreme Court. I believe it's that important that
sure.
it could be heard by the Supreme Court.
Well, let's talk about your efforts. Who are you? Who else other than you know the lowly Dutch Jones are you being able to share this message with?
Well, a left-wing reporter called me today. She wasn't really excited about telling me much about herself. She works for, I don't know, some kind of online e-zine that I've never heard of. It's called the Daily Beast.
You know, I've received stuff from those people in the last few days. That's funny.
You have?
Yeah, they've been submitting articles to me to read on the air.
Well, I looked her up. I looked up her articles, and it's all about illegal immigration. Oh, the poor immigrants. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo. And so I pretty much know what her bias is now. And then
and then
she talked about TheDare.com, and she called it a white racist hate site.
Yeah.
And I had talked to her a little bit, and I'm thinking, well, what do I really want to tell her? Is she going to take what I say and turn and twist it?
Mm-hmm.
That's always a possibility when you talk to journalists, that they're going to turn it and twist it, they'll cut and paste, and they'll make it seem like you're an ugly, unpleasant person or that you've said some unpleasant things.
Yeah,
so,
dealing with the media, it's going to be harsh, but I mean, I've been scouring the internet to see if anyone other than you is advocating for Shauna, and I can't find anybody, not even her family. They're trying to keep quiet mostly.
Well, the thing is that her family consists of her son and her daughter.
Yeah.
And her estranged relatives is what we've decided to call them, which is her half-brother and her biological mother are the ones that are saying nasty things about her. Her children love her.
Yeah.
But her children don't necessarily want to be put in the public spotlight. And, you know, after Shauna was shot and beaten and raped in Everett, Washington, a lot of people just were quiet simply because they were afraid the cartel was going to come after them, too.
Now, let's talk
about... So there's a lot of fear.
Right. Speaking of fear, now, what was done in that case when Shauna was shot and raped? Of course, you know, they caught those guys and threw them in jail, right?
Well, the cases were closed as far as I know, although I'm awaiting police reports on those cases because I need that to, you know, to write my book because it's about Shauna Ford and the other defendants, but it also is going to start maybe around the time of the Minuteman Project.
Yeah,
and I have to show the trajectory of hate and violence in her life that she's been subjected to.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get a copy of those police reports. But the last thing that I read, which was written by Kim Smith of the Arizona Daily Star, who's definitely not on our side, she said that the cases were closed due to insufficient evidence.
That's what I was getting at. They're not out pursuing those people.
No, I don't think they are. I don't think the Everett Police Department is pursuing anyone, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because they're controlled by La Raza, too, and Shauna's not popular.
Yeah, yeah, just another white victim of crime.
There are other people besides me who are on Shauna's side, but pretty much the committee is kind of like without a spokesman right now because their spokesman has had personal issues and isn't able to come forward or be available at the right time. And I'm the one who knows the case and knows Shauna inside and out. So I'm speaking for Shauna's supporters at this point.
Sure, sure. So you what you're telling us is you haven't been invited on Oprah or Regis or anything like that lately? Because I'm trying to figure out ways we can get this out there and get more people to listen to it and at least be interested and read the facts, you know. Even if they don't agree with us at first, they should read the facts.
Well, I find that when I talk to other people in the what has been called the Minuteman movement or something like that, people don't give me a hard time because I'm supporting Shauna Ford, like I said, because I do have a history, and people know that I am a sincere patriot. They know my work. They know what I've done in the past. So I think a lot of people are simply just holding back, and I may have managed to open some minds to the possibility of Shauna's innocence, but people are just holding back. I think that having a Minuteman arrested for, plotting the murder of four people, it just shocked everybody so much. It scared them. They ran away.
Yeah.
It scared me when I first heard about it.
Right. I was wishing we could find somebody to write a song for or something, but so far everybody's turning me down. Not because they don't understand the cause or anything, but just because they don't have the time and stuff. I know there's a couple people that make Minuteman music that I'm trying to dig up again that wrote the Minuteman song, Luca, and those guys. But we got to do something to get more light shined on this. And I encourage our listeners to figure out, write, call, keep bugging Pima County. We gave out the numbers for the jail and all that. Just keep it up. Keep up the work. Keep the pressure on. Let them know that we know she's there.
Well, I think one of the things that it's really important to bring out about Shauna Ford is that she's a humanitarian. And on a lot of levels, she is a bleeding heart. Not a liberal, but
for humans.
She does feel for people who are suffering, who are poor, who are disadvantaged. Now, let me just state an example. On her website, shaunaford.blogspot.com, is a story she sent me called Dirty Girl. And Dirty Girl is about child prostitutes, about human trafficking in prostitution of women from, for example, Russia and Slavic countries and stuff like that. And her encounter with somebody, most likely in Everett, Washington, who was forced into prostitution, into the slavery of prostitution. Shauna really cares about women, and I've been talking to a couple of people in Washington State who worked with her a lot, Bob and Kathy Dameron, with Minuteman American Defense. And they said, you know, every time they went down to the border, Shauna always sought out rape trees, wanted to see areas where women were exploited. She was always looking for babies and children and women who might have been left behind.
Why don't you tell our audience what a rape tree is? It's been a long time since I've spoken about it. Why don't you share with our audience what that is?
A lot of people down here in the Southwest know what a rape tree is, but it hasn't received wide publicity. But if you Google the term rape tree on the internet, you will find some hits. And one of them, for example, is from a Latina website where they know about it. Latin American women know what rape trees are. Basically, what happens is that when a woman is transported by a coyote across the border from Mexico, the woman probably has to pay money for it, just like the men who are being transported. But the sad fact of the matter is that any women, and sometimes girls, who are transported across the border by a coyote have to pay twice. They pay once with money, and then they pay with their bodies. Well, what happens is that we do have some trees in the desert, not many, but the coyote, what he does is he hangs women's underwear on a tree, like a mesquite tree or an acacia or something mm-hmm. like that. And this is like his tree of trophies of his conquest. It's a really sick, perverted thing. But this is what these sick people do who are act as coyotes and smugglers. They rape the women. Sometimes they rape the children, and they take their underwear, their bras, their underpants, and hang them on trees. And so if you ever encounter a tree that's wearing women's underwear in the southwestern United States, you know what that means. It means that women have been raped and exploited there. And we have a section on the website, justiceforshaunapoor.com, called The Rape Tree, and it's got a YouTube video of Shauna explaining the rape tree.
Yeah, it's one of the disgusting little secrets that law enforcement along the border doesn't want to get out. That the Minuteman, and I would say I've never met a Minuteman who wasn't outraged by that, or Minutewoman, whatever you want to say. The slave trade and the sex trade gets
ignored.
This
is one of the secrets that the open borders lobbyists don't want us to spread around either.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? When you have an open border, you have exploitation and rape of women and children.
I remember I was fortunate enough to help rescue some women, and I asked where they were going. And they were told they were coming to America to be massage therapists. So all of those ads that you see in the cities for massage stuff, that's where these women end up. It's not your typical ugly brothel at the edge of town. They take them to these places. And the women we had rescued were Chinese. And it's you're never going to know who's coming across that border and what their destination is.
Well, it's more likely women and children who are going to be exploited in, you know, through prostitution. And sometimes it's men who want to work. Sometimes it's drug cartel and gang members. And I mean, there's so many good reasons to secure the border. Duh.
Yeah.
Kind of like a no-brainer.
Well, here we go. We've finished up that half hour. Thank you, Lane, for calling in. And always feel free to call in and give us info. And,
thank you, Dutch. I appreciate all your help for Shauna.
Anything we can do to expand the story. Okay, thanks, folks. That's it for the first hour. But the Dutch Jones Experience continues with Liberty Tree Radio after the break. And we're going to have on Steve Klein will be on from Code 20. And Steve's probably getting ready to call, so I got to make sure I hang up this phone. And let's see if I can do that right. Where is it here? Turn on the phone. I'll bring that up. Okay, everything's down, so we're just waiting for old Steve Arini to call in. And we will continue with our focus on the Islamic threat after the break. Thanks for listening.
I think we need a gunslinger. Somebody tough to tame this town. I think we need a gunslinger. There'll be justice all around. Someone let the fences go while that bunch moved in, you know. Shooting up the street, shouting everybody down. The dogs all running loose. Wrecked the paper, closed the school. Tired old judge got roughed up too. No one left to make a stand. They whisper, what's the use? I think we need a gunslinger. Somebody tough to tame this town. I think we need a gunslinger. There'll be justice all around. We need a gunslinger. Somebody tough to tame this town. Think we need a gunslinger. There'll be justice all around. I think we need a gunslinger. Somebody tough to tame this town.
justice all around.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info. When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
New world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government
is an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens. What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones. Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And we're back. Welcome to our Liberty Tree radio listeners. Thank you, Ed, for tuning us in. This is Stronghold Radio coming to you from Central California. We're not in Cahuilla right now. But we are bringing you the Christian Separatist Worldview. And we do this Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. on Stronghold Radio coming out of Cahuilla. And then at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, we jump over on Liberty Tree Radio to join our friends in the Holy Cause of Liberty. Okay. Oh, it's playing again, Luke. Hear that. Listen to that. Why is it doing that? Yeah, stop. Sorry about that. Our computers are going nuts here. Steve, are you there?
I'm here. I have my cognac, my leather chair, my cigar, and I'm ready to talk about war. For the people listening to us in Egypt, Saudi Arabia, and Bangladesh, welcome to our Middle East nightmare people monitoring us. May you soon go to hell.
Yeah, we both found out over the weekend when we got our analytics back on our websites that our listenership in the Arab nations is way up. I know on our website, DutchJones.info, we've got Pakistan, Saudi Arabia, what was that one? The Qatar, Oman, all of them. Turkey. We had a lot of people in Turkey. So it's code 20 night. And as you know, Steve Klein is here from abolishislam.com. And I'm just going to give it to you, Steve, and jump in when you ask me to.
Hey, glad to be back on the air. Always glad to talk to my good friends, Dutch, Lewis, and to Miss Stacy. I hope you're all doing good. And to all you Middle East Muslims and all you guys here in the United States that want to wipe us out, hey, hope you're listening. Hope you're going to learn something. We're going to talk about war. What is war? War. Indeed, what is it? Before I get into talking about war, because frankly, I've got nothing against war. Because if somebody's coming to rape my wife and murder my kids and stuff, I'm going to war. If somebody's going to replace my Christianity and my Constitution of the United States with Islam, I'm happy to go to war. I'm happy to send them to their 72 virgins.
Sure.
So what's wrong with war? 6,000 years recorded the history of war. Can somebody out there tell me, please, what is this phenomenon known as war? Well, before we get to war, let's talk about republic. The republic is made out of two old ancient words from the Latin, re, which means thing. So some little kid comes walking in to the house, and mom's got her back to the little kid, and he says to mom, hey, mom, can I kill this thing? You know, like, you do your thing, and I'll do my thing, and if we come together, it'll be beautiful. Remember the old silly, insane, stupid Gestalt poem. But there's a little bit of truth. In fact, there's a lot of truth in that, because thing, re, means the essence, the sine qua non of something. Re. It's an old Latin word, Greek word, publica, public, re, public. What is the thing, R-E, the thing of the public, the republic? Mm-hmm. What is this thing? What is this republic? What's this republic based on? Well, in the United States, the Constitution of the United States comes from Anglo-American common law, and it's this idea of republic thing. What is this thing that we the people come together, and we want to make our law on this thing? And if somebody wants to destroy our thing, our law, then we stand up on our hind feet, and we use guns, and we go to war. That's all it is. Is it that hard? As Clausewitz said, war is merely an extension of politics by another means. Mm-hmm. If we're going to war against terrorism, then we should have some ultimate goal. We should be over in Iraq and Afghanistan with an ultimate goal. Well, the ultimate goal of war, this RE, this RE, this thing of war, is to impose somebody's morality on somebody else. We do it with guns.
Right.
It's really interesting. Yeah, it's not that hard. And it's a form of constitutional republic. It's a form of democracy, because if they've got 10,000 guns, bullets, and we've only got 1,000 guns or bullets, consider if they were bullets or ballots. They have 10,000 ballots. We have 1,000 ballots. We lose. They have 10,000 guns. We have 1,000 guns. We lose. Unless you're talking to Dutch Jones and Steve Klein. And then we understand... Then we understand we can leverage through cell warfare. We can leverage like King David did with his 50 mighty men. We can leverage like the American Revolutionary War with the swamp fox, Francis Marion. And we can start to use our heads and outsmart these monsters from hell that are listening to us from the Middle East.
Right.
It's not that hard. They're too dumb, even though they're listening. They're dumb because they base their law, their reason for living, their cause of warfare on their perverted, perfect man, Muhammad. Muhammad never thought, well, I take that back. He did think, but he thought about PMS, power, money, and sex, and he did actually put together strategy with tactics. Remember last week, Dutch, we talked about tactics without strategy is merely noise before defeat?
Right.
We talked about that,
yep.
And then we also said that strategy without tactics is the slowest way to victory. I'll give the Muslims credit on this part, that when they created their religion of Islam, it is RPM, religious, political, and military. It's all linked together, and it cannot be torn apart into individual units and expected to work. The very nature of Islam is religious, political, and military. They're always using strategy. They're always using tactics. They're a locust religion. I'm reading a great book now called Captives. You can get it for less than $5 on Amazon.com, including shipping. And it's really fascinating because it talks about the Europeans who are trying to do commerce in the Mediterranean Sea. The Muslims never really came up with a bona fide industrial revolution or a scientific revolution or a reformation or anything of the nature to come close to what we did in Christianity. From what I can see, we actually have to thank Islam for its aggressive locust-like behavior. When I say locust, Islam has never really created anything, not even the concept of zero.
Yeah.
That was actually from a Hindu, and after the Muslims conquered him, he converted to Islam, and they said, oh, you see, we are the Muslim. We are so smart. We create the zero. No, they didn't. So what I'm leading to here, I'm going to turn it over to Dutch real quick, because I know a lot of this stuff people are listening and they're getting a headache. Because we're talking about war, then we're talking about the thing, then we're talking about law, and we're talking law is considered today in the United States incorrectly just to be black ink on white paper. But in effect, law really is buckets of blood, red blood on paper. And here's the failure of modern-day Christianity. Christianity during the Reformation was RPM. It was religious and political and military. But now, under our chickified, sissified system, we think we got to love everybody into the kingdom that we cannot engage in self-defense. So we threw out the military part. And since all of the pastors say, oh, I don't want to talk about politics, I just want to have a relationship with Jesus, we threw out politics, and all we're left with is a sissified religion that cannot fight Islam. But rest assured, Dutch Jones, Steve Klein to the rescue. I'll be back on this subject. Dutch, I've spoken too much. Go ahead and jump in.
Well, it's funny because we've been discussing this on Thursday nights too. What good is being right? What good is having proper ideals and a great plan if you don't have the power of the sword to enforce it? Therefore, warfare is the natural extension of politics. It is not always the end result of all politics, but when your belief system, your way of life, your culture, if I may, is confronted, and in even more terrible ways, starting to be destroyed, you can do all the bloviating, debating, and chanting you want, but if you can't enforce it with the power of the sword, your cause is for naught. We could have written 1,000 Declaration of Independences and felt good about ourselves and patted ourselves on the back as the American people or culture, but if we didn't have the musket ball, and the Minuteman to back it up, we would have been laughed at around Europe for what we were trying to do. And throughout history, good, well-meaning people think that all they have to do is convince their oppressors, their attackers, their invaders, that what they're doing is just bad and wrong and evil, and that we should just be left alone, or even worse, just get along and miscegenate into some new creation of a culture, then you've already lost. Without Christianity, you don't have the authority to use the sword. So that's why we say here from the Church of Kahuia, from Code 20, from Alter or Abolish, abolishislam.com, we say that first you must be on the side of God, not have God on your side, but be on the side of God. And then from his authority, take the sword and enforce the mandates, laws, creeds, whatever you want to call them. But you can't do it without force. It's a physical impossibility. It's a universal truth. You cannot be free without force, because there's always somebody who, for whatever reason, whatever motivation, is willing to use force at the drop of a hat over the smallest thing. So therefore, you have to have the sword, which is, and I'm not talking about the word of God alone, but the sword, which is warfare.
Right on.
Yeah.
God, in one of his key attributes, he's omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Starts off with he's omnipotent. He's got the omnipotent sword. If he didn't have the omnipotent sword, as Dutch said, he can do 5,000 declarations of independence, 5,000 Bibles, 5,000 sermons on the mount, but nobody will really give a rip.
Yeah.
Psalms 2, you nail it. Psalms 2 is really interesting, and this is coming back to Code 20. All of you, I hope you're listening, Code 20, starting to think, okay, tactics without strategy is merely a noise before defeat. Strategy without tactics is the slowest path to victory. That's what we've done in Iraq and Afghanistan. We have no end game. We have no purpose. Why would we go to impose our morality, which is a definition of war, that's our thing, that's our why would we go to a foreign country and put their law, their morality, Islam, as the basis of their constitution? That's a surefire way to defeat. Okay, Psalms 2. Why do the Muslims rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. The kings of the earth, the caliphate, and the ministers of Islam, the leaders of Islam, set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, Jesus, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast them their cords away from him. He that sitteth in the heavens, God, shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Well, now, Dutch and I have done that. We've been in combat, and sorry to say, for those of you sissies who've never been there or don't want to go there, I'll tell you, after I was done with Victory and I looked down at the dead guys, I laughed at them. I said, sorry, dude, you lost. You're a loser. I'm still standing. Act like a man. Why do we all have to say, oh, I love my enemy? Come on. There's a certain time that we love our enemy. We love our enemy when we can dialogue and talk to them. After we capture them, we can love them, we can take care of them, and things of that nature. But by God, when we're in the combat and we're pulling the trigger, I got so frustrated the other night when some pastor stopped me when I was speaking about the Marines in the Battle of Fallujah. They killed 2,000 Muslims in 24 hours and lost 13. I said, that's pretty cool. And the pastor stopped me and said, we're supposed to love our enemies. And I turned red. I'm telling you, I was angry because I almost said, pastor, so every time I'm in combat and I pull a trigger, I got to say, I love you. I love you not. I love you. I love you not. Come on, dude. Be serious. When Jesus was beating the hell out of the guys and the money in the money changers, in the temple.
With a whip.
I don't think he was beating them saying, I love you, I love you, I love you.
He warned them.
When he comes back. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just funny. He warned him, and he had a righteous anger, it says in Scripture. He braided his whip. He gave him about 30 minutes, and then he just cleaned house.
Amen.
It shows that there's a just way for us to do this. We have long since got past warning our enemies, though. They've brought the battle to us on our own territory. They're invading our territory and just about everything when it comes to being a Christian man. And so we don't have to give any more warnings either, so don't be thinking that. The time's over. Now's the time for... when they come, repel all borders. It's period. That's it.
Amen. Amen. And I have noticed, and I'm sure Dutch has noticed too, and Pastor Warren, but a lot of people are starting to wake up their eyes. I've got a big outreach this Friday where we're going to be at a high school, and we're going to notify using our Nehemiah letter where we notify the mayor, city attorney, entire city council. We're going to tell the police chief, then we're going to the county, we're going to tell the sheriff, we're telling the district attorney, we're telling the county board, the supervisor, we're telling the boards of education for the school district, for the county, for the state. We've got like 50 CCs on here, and we went right through exactly what we're going to do. In fact, I got the letter right here in front of me. It's going to the law offices of Richards, Watson, and Gershon for the city of Temecula. And it goes through subject, First Amendment, education outreach, Temecula Public Sidewalk, Chaparral High School, gives the address, gives the time. We're calling ourselves the Concerned Citizens for the First Amendment. And we've done this 1,500 times. We've never lost. I've taken this to court 6 times. I only lost once, and that was on a technicality. We've won 4 others outright. And on the other one, we're in Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. We'll probably win that one, too. Mm. So this, we're sending out notice. Here's what we're going to do. Because they're going to build this giant mosque in Temecula, 25,000 square foot, which is a mega upscale community in Southern California.
I still can't believe that.
Yeah.
I've spent many, many hours in Temecula doing commercial work, security work. That was back in the 90s. I just can't believe that they're sitting and letting that happen.
Well, that's a good point, Dutch, because very quickly they came in. Now, normally, it takes Islam or Christianity or any, you know, like Victor Hugo said, there's nothing more powerful than an idea that's come of time, which I think that's where you and I are, Dutch, with Code 20, with this modern-day Reformation. I think we're right on the verge of a new Reformation.
I believe
kind of like Martin Luther, Martin Luther nailing the 95 theses on the wall. And that goes back to war. Well, what is war? War is an imposition of morality. And remember, after he nailed those 95 theses on the wall, immediately the Pope wanted to murder him.
Yeah.
And he had 50 student bodyguards, and they all carried swords, including Martin Luther.
Sure.
And a couple of times they tried to arrest him, and his students jumped up, and they pulled out their swords, the gun, and they said, no, you're not going to arrest him. So I think because of Dutch, myself, Warren Campbell, Warren's father, a lot of us are out there now, and the proof is in the pudding. Like Dutch said, can you remember the countries that are monitoring us? Can you list them off your head again?
Okay, we've got Turkey was the biggest one. We've got Oman. There were 4 or 5 people there. Pakistan, Yemen, Qatar, Qatar. I don't know how to pronounce that one, Q-A-T-A-R or something like that.
Qatar.
Syria, Lebanon, Let's see, what else? I'm looking at the list in my head here because I was really surprised. United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Kenya, all across Northern Africa. There was at least one or two people monitoring there. And we don't know what their governments are, so when we checked their IP addresses, we didn't know where they were. We did find out the FBI's been listening to us because when we tracked it back, it went right to one of their FBI offices in Washington, D.C. So that was kind of funny.
Maybe they can learn something about the Constitution.
Yeah, I'm hoping they wake up, you know, and part of this new great awakening that's happening. I had a question sent in from Mike, who's listening on Facebook. We do have a lot of listeners on Facebook now. Dawa. What is Dawa? And he said that he wanted to know if you could extrapolate on the call to worship, I think he called it. Maybe make sure I read this right.
I know what he's saying. Okay. Dawa is D-A-W-A. We evangelize, we go out, we take gospel tracts, we use the Bible, and we witness to people. We never get violent. We never threaten. If they don't want to hear from us, we dust off our shoes and we walk away. Dawa is the word for evangelizing for the Muslims, how they want to spread Islam and make it the only one religion throughout the world. And, of course, they always start friendly and happy, and then they go through different levels to more and more dangerous, more and more violent, until finally they start killing people. So they're in the incipient stages in the United States, which Peter Hammond pointed out, they're less than 1%. So right now, they like us, they love us, even though Council on American Islamic Relations told their people not to cooperate with the FBI, which
I
know
saw
the
that.
FBI already knows.
Yeah.
But the FBI, they're an interesting group. They're not like the old days, Elliot Ness and the good guys and patriots. Most of them are just paid bureaucrats. And if you're listening, I think most of you guys are just brainwashed. You're multiculturalists. You're into diversity, you're into silliness, you don't understand Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10 with piracy and the law of nations, the law written on the heart, pretty much thrown out the United States as I knew it as a kid and other people knew it until the last 50 years ago, and you're looking for more money and you're looking for more jobs and more promotions and things of that nature. You can tell I don't hold the FBI in very high esteem at this time. I do not think that they're patriots at all.
No. I've had enough brushes with them to know that they're no longer out as defenders of the Constitution. It's, that time has long since fallen to the wayside. Now, you're talking about, of course, you brought up Peter Hammond, and I wanted to get your comment on this, the at least ballot victory for the Southern Sudanese. The Christians have seceded from the Sharia law Sudan and are starting their own nation. Have you had any contact with the Christians in the Sudan or the victims of the Sharia law there?
I have not, and the reason is because the Sudanese who have broken away have done it properly, and they know what they're doing, and I was thrilled to hear from Peter Hammond and others that they just fall back in the Nubian mountains, very much like Ho Chi Minh and Mao Zedong with his long march and things of that nature. I was thinking about going over there and offering my services, you know, the way I used to operate in Vietnam, but I think they would end up teaching me. They're very successful, and everything that they do points out to why you go to war. If they want to come and rape and murder and victimize and mutilate, and I've seen the pictures, it's horrible, and they want to destroy these people, then God bless the Sudanese army, the Christian army. I've seen them where they carry the Christian flag in front of them, and they're using proper cell warfare, guerrilla warfare. They have their own type of Code 20. Rest assured that they've got a bunch of Arabic-speaking guys that are infiltrating up in the northern Sudan into Egypt, and they're watching, and then they're telling their guys, just like the French resistance did in World War II. So that brings, they're doing a perfect example that war used properly is very good. Politics used improperly, as Obama and Bush and the FBI and these guys are doing, is disgusting. They're out there lying. They hardly ever tell the truth. I never hear them say we're at war with Islam. I never hear them say Islam is at war with us. And that's so simple. That goes back to that very simple thing that tactics without strategy is merely a noise. And that goes back to why I wanted to talk about war, because the Muslims, their basic DNA, if you will, metaphorically, their RE, their thing, their sine qua non. Why they exist is dawah. Thank you, Mike. They do their dawah by the jihad of the tongue, where they're peaceful, they love you. And as soon as you say you don't want anything, then they go to the jihad of the sort. And once again, our Christians have become so sissy, so chickified, so terrified to smack some punk in the face that's going to rape or murder our wife, or is going to come and supersede our Constitution of the United States. And man, we're just getting beat senseless on all fronts. However, I see the collapse of the federal system of the United States sometime in the next 50 years. It's imminent because of the poor leadership of the FBI, Homeland Security, yeah. CIA, political correctness, all this other stuff. So, hey, we're a constitutional republic based on alter or abolish and reinstitute Federalist Paper number 78, the Law of Nations, Federalist Paper number 42, the Law of Nations found in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, the Law of Nations found in Blackstone, found in Hugo Grotius, the Law of War and Peace. And the Law of Nations is merely the law written on the heart, the Ten Commandments. But the Christians under our current crop of leaders, Catholics, Christians, Protestants, Evangelical, name them all, has taken RPM, religious, political, and military. They've thrown out the P for political. They've thrown out the M for military. And that's why I read from Psalms 2, why do the heathens and the kings rage against God and his anointed? That's a P, political statement.
Yeah.
Romans 13:3 and Romans 13:4 are military statements talking about the civil magistrate is ordained to be a terror to evil and to be exercise wrath using the sword on the Muslims and the other people who lie and say they're coming into the United States and they're going to make us good, wonderful citizens. No.
Well,
no.
Well.
So understanding war is a holy, just cause. If it's based on the Law of Nations, the law written on the heart, God has no problems with that,
nope.
And he commands us to go to war.
There's a biblical doctrine of war, and I'll talk about it in the next half hour as we're getting ready to go to a commercial break here. The problem, and Mike put it, I'm getting these IMs now, two things. You gave the United States 50 years, and everybody thinks you're being nice. And number two is that we've become the new France. We're bend-over surrender monkeys for Islam. Somebody commented, and I wanted to share that with you. So we're going to come back after the break. I'm going to share with you the biblical doctrine of war and the basic tenets of that. I'm not going to go to a bunch of scripture because I've learned it enough that I can explain it. It's pretty simple what the biblical doctrine of warfare is, and there is one. Steve, hold on there. We'll be right back after this break.
Sun comes up, I strap on my bazooka. One wife so ugly, I'm glad you wear a burqa. Thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, my rapper was my baba's dead and dead, and he died. Human shield sitting right by his side. He said, shoot women first and do it with pride. And thank Allah, you're a jihad boy. My daddy taught me young how to make me a bomb. I really think Americans are mean to Saddam. I make excuse that they just hate Islam. And thank Allah, I'm a jihad boy. Well, I got me five wives, got me a hookah. When sun comes up, I strap on my bazooka. One wife so ugly, I'm glad you wear a burqa.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info.
www.duthjones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.duthjones.info.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Avenge me! It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in
there. Put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order.
A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat. An emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
radio program.
And now for something completely different.
And there we go. And we're back. I apologize for the audio gremlins. I stepped on a cable, and then the player wants to loop everything. This is the Dutch Jones radio program coming to you. Make sure I push for Steve here. Coming to you live Monday through Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. where I bring you the Christian Separatist Militant Worldview. And on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we have guest co-hosts. And today is Tuesday, so you're in for a treat. We have Steve Klein. Steve, are you there?
I'm here. Everything's working good.
Okay, good. That didn't get disconnected. But I wanted to, before we start, there is a biblical doctrine of warfare. One, a king must be just in his cause. He must have the resources to win. He must have the people's will. What was the other one? I'm trying to think. God's permission, basically, which means just in his will. And he must have tried every other recourse before he goes to war. And that applies to people too, as in self-defense. It's amazing. What I like about God's system is it makes sense. One person, 10 people, 1,000 people, 10,000 people, and so on. So all you wimpy Christians, stop sending me emails. There's a biblical doctrine of warfare, and if you're not getting it in your church, that's your fault for staying in that church. Do the research yourself. You can Google the biblical doctrine of warfare. Deception. Flight. There's a biblical doctrine of flight. If you look at overpowering forces, you don't have force multipliers. You don't have your back against a wall. You can flee a tyrant. There's a biblical doctrine of tyrannicide. It's all there. So the biblical doctrine of warfare. There's specific things that leaders, just leaders, must look at before they go to war. We've long since passed that. The enemy has declared war on us. As Mike put it on Facebook, we've replaced the French as far as capitulating to others' demands. And does this sound right to you, Steve?
Yeah, I hate to be compared to the French. Maybe I'll take in with a French resistance and Charles Martel, who destroyed the Muslim. Here's a verse out of chapter 19, verse 11 about Jesus and war, since a lot of people are hooked on the rapture. Yeah. Revelations 19:1, Jesus says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he does judge and make war." That's Jesus. That is Jesus. And what Dutch was saying about biblical doctrines of warfare, just in his cause, that just is the word that's based on equity. The opposite of equity is iniquity, which is lawlessness. That equity means the law of nations. It means the law written on the heart. It means fairness. It is the golden rule. It's all the stuff that Western civilization was based upon.
Sure.
So
equitas.
We're going back. Go ahead.
I was going to say equitas, veritas, equitas.
Bingo. Yeah, tell them what equitas and veritas mean.
Well, I've seen different translations, but veritas and equitas are basically truth, fairness, justice, the light, exposing evil. And I've always loved those two terms. If I were still getting tattoos, I'd have veritas on one arm, equitas on the other, so when I was punching somebody, they'd get them both, you know?
Veritas is from the Latin. It's the motto of Harvard. It means truth. Yeah. And equitatis means equity or fairness, all those things that Dutch said. And It's that simple. But if you work for the FBI, CIA, if you're a modern-day attorney, you're a modern-day judge, and you talk about equity, they go, oh, my God, that's crazy. Well, guess what, FBI, judge, and the rest of you knuckleheads, it worked really good in the United States. If you go back and study Justice Story, one of the preeminent Supreme Court justices around, I think, 1828 or so, and he's all about equity. And you go back to Sir Thomas More, you go back through history. Okay, so it started with war, because all war really is you're taking, you can't use ballots anymore because you got morons who are destroying you, like the Republicans, the Democrats, liberals, conservatives, the libertarians. You can't use ballots anymore, but they're killing 4,000 children a day, murdering 4,000 citizens a day. They're turning the schools over to the pedophiles. They're turning the schools over to the Muslims. The Muslims are coming in building mosques. All the mosques, those of us who know Islam, we know the mosque is a terror center. We know that. Everything in Islam works out of the mosque.
It's a command post.
We start talking about, pardon?
It's a command post. It's a forward observation center.
All of the above. Everything comes out of the mosque. When I briefed the United States Marine Corps before the Battle of Fallujah, and I explained to these guys who killed 2,000 Muslims in 24 hours in Fallujah, I told them everything comes out of the mosque, the battle planning, the command center, the headquarters, the hospital, the ambushes, the magazine, the weapons, the armory. Everything comes out of the mosque. There's no separation of mosque and state. They're all linked together. The imam, the general, they're all doing the same thing. They're there for dawah by violence. And the several battle planners of the Marine Corps, they looked at me like I had a third eyeball in the center of my forehead. But when they came back from the Battle of Fallujah, I said, congratulations, you killed 2,000 in 24 hours. Good job. They were crowing. I said, now you only have 1.498 billion more to kill. They got a little upset at me, but they did admit. They said, Steve, you're absolutely right. Everything takes place out of the mosque. And once again, going back to war, and let's compare Western civilization based on Christianity with Islam. Under Christ and Western civilization, beginning with the Reformation and actually before, you had the highest degree of peace, order, liberty, and prosperity. All of us, I think, all of us are willing to die for the highest degree of peace, order, liberty, and prosperity. I don't want people kidnapping my wife and my girls and raping them and murdering them. Let's switch gears and let's go to the basis of warfare. That should be the basis of warfare for Western civilization. What's the basis of warfare in Islam? It's just the opposite. It's not peace, order, liberty, and prosperity. It's war, disorder, slavery, poverty, and we'll throw in one more word, misogyny. They hate women. It's the most bizarre system in the world. Four wives divorce them any time that they want to. Muhammad, the perfect man, the perfect pedophile, the perfect murderer, the perfect assassin. I have my own TV show now. I reach about 1 million viewers. They're all Arabic-speaking throughout the world, and about one-third of them are Muslim. So a Muslim calls in the other day, and he says, well, you know, I'm a Muslim, and Ahmadinejad and the fundamentalists are killing all of the other Muslims, so I'm on your side. I said, okay, can you please explain to me what do you think Muhammad was? Who do you think Muhammad was? He knew I was going right to the perfect man, the pedophile, the screwball, the murderer, and everything else. Well, he hung up. So that in our strategy, in our tactics, whenever you talk to a Muslim, I think this will really work good if you just say to him, I don't really care about the Quran. I really don't care about the Hadith. I want to know about the founder of your religion.
Yeah.
Don't you think Muhammad is the perfect man? And as soon as they say yes, then you just innocently ask him, well, didn't he marry a six-year-old girl and have sex with her when she was nine? Didn't he have multiple wives? Didn't he murder? Wasn't he an assassin? Wasn't he a liar? Didn't he work for the FBI? Oh, wait a minute. You know, all of the above. I threw that one in. I knew
convenience
Lewis was
store
kind
clerk.
Of getting sleepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I wanted to start with war. War is an honorable institution if it is done correctly. It overcomes evil with good because self-defense is good. It is demanded by God, and God is just as Dutch read earlier. What is Christian warfare? To to be just in his cause, to have the people's will, and to go through all the other resources. I've gone through all the other resources. World War II throws a really interesting paradigm at us for the people's will. Are the people really behind the war? This is interesting, Dutch. You'll like this because you were in the Army, very successful in the Army. In talking with older people who are now in their 80s and 90s, especially to the ladies, I said to them, well, I had an uncle who passed away not too long ago. He was about 90 years old. He passed away about 3 years ago. He couldn't get into World War II. He couldn't get in. He tried everything, but for some reason he was 4F. And I said, oh, well, that's kind of cool. He goes, no, it's not. He says, I was afraid to go out in the public because I didn't wear a uniform. And because I didn't wear a uniform, all of the women would surround me and they would yell and scream and call me a coward and gutless because they were afraid of the Japanese, I live in California, the Japanese coming to rape and murder them. Mm-hmm. And so as part of that, the people's will, look to the gals. If you go and you study wisdom in Proverbs, wisdom is always pronounced femininely, as a woman. I like my mom and my grandma, even my daughter who's 35. They have a different sense of wisdom than I have. And Dutch is probably the same way. I look at somebody, I flame retard goes out of my ears, and I'm ready to go and get them. Women tend to be a little less dramatic. And when you look at Lady Justice, it's not manly justice, it's Lady Justice. Though it's the men who do all of the job. So, in determining biblical doctrines of warfare, is the civil magistrate just in his cause? If he is, then the women should be 1,000% behind the war. If he is, then you should look at young men walking the streets in their uniform, proudly displaying their uniforms, because the women will come up and thank them. But look at Vietnam, didn't declare war. Look at what we're doing now, even with the War Powers Act, which I think, even though it had a two-thirds majority from Congress, I think it's crazy. I don't know how Congress could delegate authority, Section 1, Article 8, declaring war over the president. I don't understand that at all.
Right.
And so as a consequence, we all always jump, and young men now are afraid to walk around without their dress uniforms and all their medals, et cetera, et cetera. This goes right back to what is this war? For us as Christians, under the Western civilization, which flows from Jesus Christ, from 6,000 years of recorded history of the Bible, we go to war because we want to preserve the highest degree of peace, order, liberty, and prosperity. But the bastards from the Middle East, the Muslims, and those guys, they believe in the highest degree of war, disorder, slavery, poverty, and misogyny, and you don't need proof because you can go to any article that talks about all of the Muslim nations around the world, and there's proof abounding. Just look at how the women have to dress.
Well, yeah. Anybody that says that what we're saying isn't true is ignoring facts. All those videos that you sent me, I posted on our Facebook page. You folks want to go to our Facebook page and look at those pictures, see what the Muslims are really doing. Somebody then saw what I posted, and they posted that Time magazine cover with that young, beautiful woman with her face cut off.
Terrible.
Yeah, and somebody actually said, I'm tired of seeing this. Why so much hate? And I just said, look, leave me alone. Go away from me. You suck. I don't want anything to do with you. I'm not even going to give you the decency of justifying what you just said. You know, this stuff is going on, and it's real, just like in the Sudan. Americans ignored the Sudan for 20 years. Ignored the Sudan. And they let the Muslims and the Chinese just butcher and slaughter Christians. Well, thankfully, some good people got in there. Money went in there. They were armed and trained. And now, look, they're getting a Christian nation. And that's a just cause.
Absolutely. Absolutely. When the Japanese tried to impose their will on us, their law, they did, you know, in World War II, when they attacked Pearl Harbor, they didn't send over, you know, letters and things of that nature. Well, they did for a while, but they were all lying. Of course, they were lying, just like the Muslims. But then when they attacked Pearl Harbor, then we decided, okay, they're going to try to impose their will on us, their morality on us. We'll merely turn the tables on them. We will declare war, which is merely an extension of politics. We will destroy their army and their navy. We will destroy their economy. We'll destroy their government because we're going to come in and send this guy in, Douglas MacArthur, and we're going to impose our morality on you. And look at the great things that have come out of, excuse me, out of Japan. if you look at a map at night of Korea, North Korea and South Korea.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, very fascinating.
Satellite image.
North Korea is all dark. South Korea is all lighted up like Las Vegas. By the way, the Protestant Christianity in Korea has been huge since Teddy Roosevelt. It's been since 1900. It's been really good. We imposed our morality on the Germans. We imposed our morality on the Italians. We didn't make any excuses. We said, this is the way it is. And they all went, yes, sir. And we loved our enemy. That's a proper response to loving our enemy. Going over there and killing our kids so that we can keep and preserve Islam as the basis of Iraq and Afghanistan is hating our enemy. We're going to leave them with a satanic war, disorder, slavery, poverty, and misogyny as the basis of their law.
And at the cost of what?
We're going to kill our kids doing it?
Yeah, killing our men and women that we sent over there for no gain. Well, corporate gain, let's not ignore that, but no moral gain.
Sure. Exactly. So now, where we started off, war, and we're right back to cell warfare, which was my specialty in Vietnam. I do not claim to be an expert. I don't want to be an expert. I was there. I saw it face to face. The guys that read the books and sit behind the computers, and they tell me, yeah, you're all wrong, and I just look at them like, yeah, I didn't see you there with me on ambush every night in a row, 240 nights in a row. I didn't see you after I was dog dead tired from being on ambush, all wet, nasty, dirty, talking to the civilians and Vietnamese to find out where the Viet Cong vestiges and the North Vietnamese Army were. But they know better, you know, like Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense. Little Weasel was in the Air Force, sat behind a computer. Then he went and worked for the CIA, was not an operative, always sat behind a desk with a computer. No, I hold those guys in contempt. So we're back, and Dutch and myself, Pastor Warren, and a number of us, a growing coalition. We've got the English Defense League, the European Defense League. We've got the Christian Guardians, Pakistani Christians in California. Of all places, folks, this is California.
Yeah.
Listen to us.
We're on the front lines.
We're kicking ass and taking names. Hey, we're kicking ass and taking names. We got Code 20. We're organizing. We've got training sessions. We got everything else. Hey, even in France, Mike, my dear friend, even in France, there's a few real men left.
There are a few. We're not perfect, but we're standing up.
Absolutely. So all of this stuff goes back to Code 20 so that we are working to impose our morality. Now, I threw out 50 years because, frankly, we ain't going to win in 5 years. We're not going to lose in 50 years. We're not going to lose in 10 years. I still think, as a political scientist, my degree is in political science, I still think the federal system with the feds at the top and the U.S. Constitution and the 50 states and the territories, I think that's moribund, which is a fancy word for it's laying on its deathbed, and it's already dead. I mean, it's not going to get up and run like, what was the name of the guy, Jim Thorpe. It ain't going to run around like the famous engine at Carlisle College and beat Harvard and Yale and Princeton Army, Navy, and Nebraska.
Yeah.
Those days are done. They're cooked because of the weasels and the FBI, CIA, Homeland Security, sheriffs, cops, all bowing down to political correctness. To hell with those guys. Dump them. Leave them alone. Give them a gospel tract and walk away. Go to the Code 20. Stay yards, 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 half miles away, miles away. Be smart, be distinguished, be clever, watch them. The Muslims are in almost every stinking gas station around the United States. I would say my guess is 10% to 25% of the gas stations in the United States have Muslims working with them. That's all part of their terrorist network. They've all got it. They can pick up their cell phone. They watch who comes and fills up the car. They can tell when the feds, you know, I mean, it's like, I went out on an outreach years ago, and there was two detectives from the sheriff's in San Diego County, and I saw them. I looked at their car from 100 yards away, and I went, oh, those two guys are the detectives. I walked over and kind of surprised them, and they rolled down their window, and I said, so you're the two detectives assigned to me tonight? And the one guy looked at the other guy and said, I told you we got to get different cars. Everybody knows that we're detectives. They all know, you know. The FBI shows up, the CIA, you know, the FBI walks around in suits and ties and goes to the mosque. It's like, gee, I wonder who those guys are. So Code 20 is working real good, and it's all constitutional. It's loving. It's in accordance with the scriptures. It's in accordance with biblical doctrine of warfare. It's It's inexpensive. It's virtually free. It's we don't harm anybody. We don't harass anybody. We don't badger anybody. And as the years go by, sometime in the next 50 years, the stuff that we see today is going to be all gone. I mean, if you went down to Anaheim, the old Disneyland, the original Disneyland, now they call it Little Arabia. You walk around there, you go to the mosque, I think it's on Bastion Cherry, I could be wrong, I can get the address where that mosque is. Yeah, you walk around that place, you better be careful, because a bunch of my friends, every time they tried to go there, they got pounded. They wouldn't use my system where we send out the letter first to make it work. So code 20, all you guys that are listening, and you guys that are in Qatar, it's Q-A-T-A-R, that's where CENTCOM is. That's where the commander is in charge over there, Petraeus and those dudes are. Qatar is the leading nation for terrorist laundering terrorist money from around the globe. So money that they strip off from the Central Valley of California, from mom-and-pop gas stations and hotels, Anaheim, New York, Dallas, Chicago, everywhere throughout the United States. They're in all 50 states, including Alaska. That they strip off money from the cash. It's called a hawala system, which is, means trust, just like the mafia. And then they send the cash and money orders over to Qatar, Q-A-T-A-R. And then those financial bastards, they take the money and then they fund the suicide bombers, the RPGs, the AK-47s, the cell phones to blow up our kids, and the FBI is too stupid to know this is going on. Or they don't have the huevos because they've all been gelded and they won't go in and tell the truth.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I wouldn't even doubt if we have some collusion because they've been aggressively hiring Farsi-speaking people, so there may be some blocking going on there.
Yeah, you saw the documentation, how they're actively recruiting for terrorists, and that'll be part of our training on the 29th. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's okay. No. I didn't want you to mention that. And also, Friday, I had the opportunity to call into Arab TV. Could you expand on where exactly I was calling and what was going on with that?
I'll tell you is that we were in Southern California. I can't tell you the exact location. The Muslims know where we are, and the Muslims are monitoring us, and eventually the Muslims will come in there and they will blow us up or they will shoot us. But we have it's called ATVSAT. .com, www.A like Alpha, T like Tango, V like Victor, for Arabic TV, ATV, satellite, SAT, ATVSAT.com. I'm the only English-speaking guy, which is, I'm really humbled by it, that they would have that much faith in me, but I've been working with the Middle East Christians for about 11 or 12 years. They know me, they trust me, I've been to a lot of their houses, and so I'm going on, you heard, right here, I'll be doing Thursday at 4 p.m. PST time, California time. You can listen to it. We're working on getting it archived. We're working on getting it fully funded. They do it 7/24. It's very by the shoestring, but they're doing a really professional, good job. So it's www.atvsat.com. Excuse me. I got the phone number wandering around somewhere.
Sure.
They can go to your website and get the phone number. Any case, it's going really good, and if people want to call in and be my guest, if you're from Qatar, Egypt, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Bangladesh, if you're a Muslim, if you're a member of Taliban or Al-Qaeda and you want the show, as long as I can understand your English, come on, I'll kick your ass. Let's go. I'll do it in the name of Jesus. There you go. All you sissies that don't think we can go to war, break out and read Revelations 19 and Psalms 2. My goodness.
Well, that's Revelations 19:11. Revelations 19:11, as in Colt 19:11. I love that one. I love that. Mike pointed that out too. He's like, hey. But yeah, so I just wanted to get that on because I was going right after I hung up with you. 2 seconds later, I was on the air on Friday. I think it was Friday. Friday or Thursday.
You did awesome.
Yeah, and I was just like,
you came on.
Yeah, and I was listening.
Because you were talking to a million people on that TV show, and at least 333,333.33, whoever the .33 is, the suicide bomb after he blows himself up. They were listening to what you said, so go ahead and repeat what you said.
We were just talking about our first Code 20 field operation where we went to a Islamic meeting hall where they were having an open house. They advertised it by handing flyers around the area, and one of our operational people, it was given to him through like two or three hands, and he called me right away and said, you guys got to go to this. And we showed up with, I don't know, what, 10 or 11 people. We spread out. We thought there was no one else there. It was for Americans to come find the truth about Islam, is what it said. Discover the truth about Islam. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the FBI. And was on the flyer. And so we went, and it was just us. And we spread out in the crowd. We got surrounded by, you know, these elders that were behind us. And they let some 20-year-old, slightly westernized, you know, good time Charlie give this the worst PowerPoint presentation I've ever seen in my life. And trust me, I've seen thousands. On how great Islam was and how it's just bad press and lies. And then the question started. Mike started the question. Our listener Mike said, well, why don't you let your women drive? And then, oh, no, 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 only one country, not let them drive. And he's like, really? And then I think it ended when I brought up the perfect man question that you had told me about. Yeah. I said, so what would Jesus do? What would Muhammad do? And, oh, no, no, we got to go now. It's time to go. And they're just, you know, probably doing more like an Indian than an Arab, but... All I remember is Stacy was gagging because of the smell. The place was trash. The kids were screaming and running around. You think white trash trailer parks got children's problems. This hall that they had rented was just terrible. And everything they did was, oh, that is not Muslims. That was secular government. The Ottoman Turks were secular government when they killed 2 million plus Armenian Christians. You know, all that stuff.
Job.
Oh, it was fun. I can't wait. We're watching them to see when they do it again. If they have another open house, we're there.
Yep. I'm gonna do the James Bond theme song because you mentioned an interesting thing in Code 20. You said, we have our operative, and you and I nicknamed him 007,
yeah.
And he did a fabulous job. Real easy, real simple, real safe. Nobody knew. Nobody knows who he is. We're not going to tell anybody who he is. The FBI can waterboard me. I'm sure I'll squeal my guts out like a little baby if I get waterboarded. But anyhow, I'm going to do the James Bond theme song and turn it over to Dutch. This is for 007, our operative. Ding, 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 007. Here we go. Kick ass, take names for Jesus. It's all you, Dutch. Thanks, buddy.
Well, there we go. I'm trying to play our closing music as it's time to close here. And I'm getting a loop. It's kind of weird. I'm getting a strange little loop here, so we're not going to have any music as we go out. Don't even try it, Lou. I don't know what happened to the computer. But this has been the Dutch Jones Radio Program. This has been our special Tuesday night Code 20 AbolishIslam.com night with Steve Klein. If you want to find out what Code 20 is, you can contact me at DutchJones.info, DutchJones.info. And we don't know why this is... Did you hear that? It's going an echo again in there. That's kind of weird. But we've got information for you. We want to reach out to you. We want to help you in everything that you do in the holy cause of liberty, and that includes facing Islam and dealing with the Islamic threat. Steve's there for you again at www.abolishislam.com. We got a lot more listeners this week over past weeks. I've been contacted. You guys want to know what's going on and where it's happening, you've got to go to that website or DutchJones.info. Keep checking us out. Keep supporting us with your prayers, your finances. Let's keep this kind of program on the air. Everybody's saying it goes way too quick. Yes, 100%. I know. We'd like to add more hours. We'd like to give Steve his own show Monday through Friday, but we need the resources to get to a location where we can do 24 hours a day of broadcasting. Right now where I'm sitting, yeah, I could do 24 hours a day, but you know, we're living out of one room here. So we need to be able to get into a commercial site where we can set up our computers and do it right. Remember that there's nothing we can't do together as Christians as long as we make sure first that we're on the side of our God, Jesus Christ. The sword is heavy, the battle is hard, but victory belongs to the Lord alone. However, he's an awesome God. He's an awesome dad. He wants us to help. He wants us to stand in the gap. And remember, we are Christian separatists here. We can't fix the federal system. They've already kowtowed to multiculturalism and all that. We have to gather together, two to three families, like Code 20 says, like the church at Kauai, like Pastor Warren Mark Campbell says on Thursday nights. Let's stick together and let's solve this problem. God bless you and all you do in the holy cause of liberty. We'll be back next week.